There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We are now very pleased to talk about how governments and companies are going to raise finance, because the Gulf is growing massively. So many big projects coming. We talk about it regularly, but how do you raise finance? David Staples, Corporate Finance MD at Moody's, joins us to talk through the subject. Very good morning to you, David. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I guess that there's an overriding concern in the region. GCC, sovereign credit profiles, continuing to diverge as risks to credit worthiness are skewed to the downside. Explain the concern about that, really, in a very simple way.
Sure. We talk about the efforts and the need by governments to reduce fiscal deficits. And there has been progress. The recovery in oil prices has helped. But they also have been focusing on reducing subsidies and bringing their economies into a position where they're operating more commercially rather than relying upon government support. And so what that means is that there is a transition where the governments are seeking to push their own commercial sector, the non-oil, is being promoted across the board so that the governments don't have to provide all of the support needed in their various countries.
Because some countries, Saudi, I guess, particularly, have to raise massive, massive amounts of money. And interest rates are rising at the same time that oil prices are rising, which might suggest using oil revenues to fund projects rather than creating debt piles. What's the supporting logic for tapping capital markets and creating debt for the future rather than using increased oil revenues?
Well, I think the first step is what governments are trying to do. You see this in the utility sector with tariff rates being brought more to a cost-plus basis for utilities rather than being subsidized. You see that with the introduction of VAT, with the promotion of a more commercial-oriented business environment, that what governments want is for these projects to function on a standalone basis and rely upon their own cash flows. It does mean the population is being relied upon now to pay for the services that used to be subsidized, and that has inflationary effects, and you've seen Saudi move forward, move back, increase subsidies, take subsidies away, but for the most part, there's been a huge increase or reduction in subsidies and increased reliance on people paying for services.
And we've seen it sort of a total reversal here where we've relied on sort of expensive diwa-produced power. Now people have got solar powers. They've accepted the principle of actually feeding back into the grid and possibly getting paid, at least having credits for electricity. But obviously that's something that needs to be done, the removal of subsidies. Is it moving at a uniform pace across the Gulf, or some countries way out there ahead of the others?
Yeah, the UAE and Dubai and Abu Dhabi have been ahead of others, very much so on that. But they've been helped by the fact that they've got a larger expat population rather than a national population. So when you move into places like Saudi has had to be more careful. But fuel prices at the pump have gone up, utility prices have been going up, and they're dealing with subsidies directly to parts of the population that needs it.
Talk about Saudi specifically. I mean, that's going to need nearly $1 trillion to deliver all the projects on the table. $500 billion of that going alone to the NEOM project. How's it going to rustle all that money? I mean, talking about removal of subsidies, it doesn't help much when you're looking for $1 trillion.
Yes, well, I think that there's a lot of talk about privatization, whether it's airports, whether it's selling off infrastructure, bringing infrastructure and forcing it to be operating competitively on a fee-based model. This is what enables that infrastructure to be funded on a project finance basis and on a commercial basis. The IPOing of a number of areas that I think will bring substantial capital into their sovereign wealth funds, Saudi Aramco, of course, being a core angle there, but they've been doing a lot around the fringe in terms of requiring that what is used by Saudi Aramco to service other industries is paid for at market prices. And all of that creates an environment where the capital markets can fund it and it can be paid back through the projects themselves rather than through the government.
How important is perception and trust and comfort with that? I mean, I'm thinking obviously of the massive PR trip that the Crown Prince is undergoing at the moment, giving a very full and frank interview to The Atlantic in the last couple of days and other outlets as well. Is that partly designed to present almost a new Saudi Arabia to the rest of the world, and what impact will that have on inward investment?
I think so much of what the Saudi Crown Prince has been doing and the Saudi society has been doing is to create a more open environment. And you need an open environment to encourage entrepreneurial activity, and you need an open environment to encourage investment. And so while there have been some concerns over some moves, I think the effort here has been to open up the capital markets, equity and debt, open up the commercial space, and create an economy that isn't reliant upon fiscal support from the government, but a standalone economy. Non-oil sector GDP growth is still very low. I mean, actually, it's stagnating in some respects, but there's a huge amount of effort being put into creating that environment to encourage that growth.
Well, one country where oil GDP is low is traditionally has been Bahrain, but they've just found a $100 note under the under the mattress. They've discovered some oil, but what might it mean for Bahrain? And we know it's quite a long way ahead, but what do you think it could mean for the country?
I think it's going to be extremely important to their fiscal position, because Bahrain is one of those countries where government debt to GDP has been high. The economy needs to continue to diversify. It has been a little bit more diversified than others because of its lower reliance upon oil, but the government needs the revenues. And when you have that more stable government fiscal position, the broader economy can benefit. It also could provide some input to other industries. I mean, aluminium is reliant upon energy.
Does it make it more credit worthy, though?
It could. Because if the government is able to monetize fairly quickly, and we don't know what the value of those reserves will be, and you know, as you were talking about yesterday, it will take some time to develop those reserves. But in terms of providing a windfall to government fiscal position, that could be very, very helpful.
Lastly, briefly, I've got to ask about Kuwait, really. I lived there for 2 years in the 80s, and it potters on at its own pace. Not much has changed, but it's got airports and oil facility upgrades to fund. Is much changing in Kuwait?
Well, you know, Kuwait's always had, you know, a unique political environment for approving and executing on projects. So they've been talking about massive projects for a long time. It appears that things are starting to happen, but it is an economy where they have a substantial amount of government wealth relative to GDP, relative to the population. So when they get started, there's huge opportunities. They have some petrochemical investments and others, but there's huge opportunities. They have the fiscal buffers, I mean, the financial buffers through the investments they've accumulated to do things. They've just been slower in executing on it.
Well, so David, thank you very much indeed for coming in and talking. David Staples, Corporate Finance MD at Moody's. We do appreciate your time. Thank you.
Great.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.